You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Wayne Fritz, only on LA Talk Radio.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to the Concierge Coaches Show here on LA Talk Radio. I'm Bruce Cameron. Wayne will be with us here in just a minute, so we'll get him in here as he is available. I'm so excited today. We have a special guest with us, Jim West. Jim, how's it going, man?
Good. I don't know how special I am, but I'll take it.
I'm
doing good, man. How are you?
You're special. Hey, we're doing good. We're doing good. You know, part of our show talks about performance coaching, right? We talk about different disciplines in performance coaching. And I know that you are very involved with coaching as well as managing. And so I wanted to get you on today to talk about some of your experiences with that. I know you coach a variety of fighters that fight across UFC and other programs. So definitely wanted, you know, to have you come on the show and talk about what you do and how you do it. So you're based out of, are you in Sacramento?
Yeah, so Sacramento. Well, the gym is in El Dorado Hills, which is about 30 minutes east of Sacramento. So going up towards South Lake Tahoe, where everything's under fire right now. So that's where we're actually at. It's MMA Gold. We train, the gym name is Urban Sprawl Academy, but the team name is MMA Gold.
Excellent. And you guys do a great job of posting on social media. I see a lot of other gyms post out there as well. You guys really have a good vibe. You know, you can tell by the look on your fighters' faces and your students' faces just how much they really enjoy,
And you guys do a great training. There's
Wayne.
Hey, Wayne. Yeah, it's kind of social media is such a crazy thing nowadays, right? Like, whether you like it or love it, you have to have it, you know, in the sport of MMA. And it really does make a difference for the team as a whole, but individually, you know, it's just a big thing. So we try to be pretty active on social media to try to, encourage people to look, to watch, to kind of be involved in all the athletes, whether they're in the UFC or ones that are coming up. You don't start in the UFC, right? When it comes to social media. So we try to have a big presence and a good presence and an influential presence at the same time.
Well, that's good. Kind of walk us through, if you could, let's say walk somebody's career. You know, they start in your gym, and let's say their goal is to be a UFC fighter. What steps do they have to take usually to get to that point?
Well, we can use, Aspen Ladd or Anthony Hernandez as examples. They're good examples for that. Aspen started with us. Her whole career she's been with us. Anthony's kind of the same thing. You kind of take them in tiers and progressions. You know, you're not just teaching them, you know, myself along with the other coaches, teaching them that the technical aptitude behind what they're about to do and getting them better in that aspect. But, you know, myself trying to always teach them what it means to become a professional. So even as an amateur, you know, you're building that ladder and, you know, you're setting them up for and with specific opponents and each step you continue to move. And kind of the one thing that we do oftentimes is after an amateur gets to a certain point, you know, whether they're 7-0, 8-0, 9-0, whatever that number is, we try to take them to Tough Enough, which is based out of Vegas. We think it's the best amateur show really in the United States. And they just do a really good job at bringing in the best possible talent as an amateur for us to face. So oftentimes when our guys get to that point, like for Aspen, for example, when we knew it was almost to that point of becoming a professional, we wanted to be, you know, it's not just what you're doing in the gym. Do they know how to travel? Do they know how to cut weight on the road? You know, manage media on the road, stay in a hotel and have to do all of those things and then still go and perform. So we try to do that towards their end of the amateur career. So by the time they become a professional and they start into those ranks, they're kind of aware of how those things go and kind of what to expect. So same thing with Aspen. She fought for the Tough Enough title that was her last amateur fight. She choked the girl unconscious, and then she signed with Invicta within a week or two after that. So each athlete, we kind of take on that same kind of platform. Same with Anthony. It was, you know, a progression, right? You want to build them accordingly, not just in the cage, but build them to prepare them for what it means to become a professional and what all of those things, what all that entails.
If they're fighting and tough enough, is that still amateur or is that starting a pro?
It is. So Tough Enough is an amateur show, although they have done, I think in the past, one or two pro ams, but it's based out of Vegas. So, I mean, you know, Vegas is the fight capital of the world, right? So, you know, you take an amateur who's almost on the cusp of becoming a professional. That's where you want to take them, because Tough Enough's going to go pull from everywhere in the country, and they're going to find the best possible amateur for you to face. So we ask them to do that. You know, hey, I have this 145 pound guy who's, you know, 6-2 or whatever, 7-2. And you know, we need to get him the best possible, the toughest challenge that he can face at that weight class. So we can see, you know, cause we think as a coaching staff, this kid might be ready to become a pro. So we want to take them, make them travel to Vegas, see what that's like. And Tough Enough does a fairly big production. So we want them to kind of see what all that is and then have to go perform under the lights against the best possible amateur we can find. So we know, look, we've done and we've dotted our I's and crossed our T's in all aspects of MMA, not just the technical side, but the business side. And then from there, we make an assessment on where they should go as a pro to make their pro debut, whether it's a local regional show, whether that means, you know, we're going to try to put them on LFA or a CCFC or a CES or a Titan, you know, something like that. And if they're a female, sometimes we put them right over to Invicta. You know, we have a great relationship with Shannon Knapp. Probably it's, in my opinion, I wish the males had the same version of that, because if you notice and you look at the UFC, look at every female that's in the UFC that's gone through an Invicta. They're all killers, every single one of them.
Yeah.
But a lot of these females, they sign to the UFC and they're not ready. If you go through Invicta, you have fought the best of the best and you're ready for the UFC. So, you know, the females have a leg up when it comes to that because of Invicta.
That's a good point. Hey, before it escapes me, go ahead and run through the roster fighters that you have on UFC and other Bellator.
That are in the UFC and Bellator. Well, Aspen Ladd, Marion Renault, who recently retired, obviously, Andrea Lee, Max Griffin, Anthony Hernandez, Jamal Emmers, Tony Kelly, Greg Milliard, who's in Bellator, he's from Aruba. Quite a few. I used to have a team, you know, Max Griffin, yep. So over the course of the last 17 years that I've been in this sport, you know, I've had teams of 50 several times, and it causes a lot of problems. The bigger the team, the more little clicks you get. You can't give them the attention to detail. So we've eliminated that. You know, about 2 years ago, I kind of purged people that, you know, just really, let's be honest, didn't have any business in the sport. Probably were never going to make it. Not my job to tell you can't make it. Go ahead.
What things did those people display to you that you knew that they needed to be purged?
Work ethic, commitment, disrespect.
Wow.
You know, any of those types of things. Look, at the end of the day, our coaches are very, very good. Some of the best in the world. That's not me saying it. That's people in the United States saying that and in the world. And those coaches have earned that, and they've earned the right to work with people that want to work and want to put in the work, want to be committed to what the system is that's proven over the course of 17 years that works. If you show up and you show up to our practices, you will get better and you will be prepared for every level of MMA. So when you can't, as an athlete, respect that and bring that type of same determination and work ethic, then we don't need you there. I'm not saying you can't fight. That's not up to me. Last time I checked, there's a God and I'm not him. So they can go figure out where they want to do that, but it's not going to be at MMA Gold. So now we have a team of about 20, maybe 22, and we have 6 coaches. So people can do the math. You come to MMA Gold, I can promise you that you're going to see a very different level of specific, individualized training. And that's kind of what we pride ourselves on. You can't just come in. You know, we've gotten rid of people that, you know, would show up once a week, twice a week. You know what? I don't have time for that. I'm there every day. I expect you to be there every day. And if you can't, no hard feelings. You just got to do your routine somewhere else.
Now, if somebody does have a day job, I mean, can they still participate if they come every day and put in what it takes?
Yeah, our practices are in the evening. So our practice times don't change for people. This is our practice times. You know, you want to train with us, you will figure out how to make it to those practice times. The system is proven. It's been proven over and over and over again. It's not about me saying it. It's just the actions have proved themselves, right, over the course of many years. So, like I said, we pride ourselves in that. And if you show up, you can't help but get better. And we're going to help you with every possible way and in every possible way, whether it's our coaching, our management, and Dave Hirschbein, who manages all of our fighters. We do it differently. People can think that, you know, 50, 60 guys in a room is the way. I've had that several different times. And what happens is you get these five over here that will only train with each other. Then these five will only train with each other. And these coaches only work with these guys. And it becomes a clique. It becomes factions in there, and it becomes very disruptive.
Yeah. And it dilutes the intensity once you have so many people.
Yeah.
So I think you're spot on with that in my estimation. Well, Wayne, I've been seeing you nodding your head and boy, what are you thinking, Wayne? Oh, your sound's off, Wayne.
Yourself unmuted. Sorry. I there was some noise feedback for me, so I had my boy, what a visitor, thank you so much. And you know, I'll tell you what grabbed me was you, when Bruce asked you how can you tell and what makes somebody great? And you said, show up, practice, that you have the proven coaching, and that if coaching begins at 7 o'clock and they're not there, that's not your problem, that's their problem.
No, whoever shows up is going to get the time.
Yeah, and you said choir, it's like choir time. It's the same time every time. The integrity and the, you named three things. I tell you, they were awesome. I mean, that's the same way it is, I think. Or would you agree in anything you want to be successful in, you've got to work hard. And you've got to show up, be on time, and be ready.
Yeah, everyone's always looking for that magic pill, right? Like that magic sauce, whatever that is. There is no magic sauce. Show up, and the rest will take care of itself. There is no other way around that. Everyone wants to try to find their own thing, or then ultimately blame the team over here for their failures or whatever. But you know, people need to look in the mirror themselves first before they look at others.
I've never seen anyone interviewed after a bout, and they said, "Well, tell us, how did you get here?" Well, I was out one Sunday afternoon just wandering around here. I wound up here.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah.
So I really appreciated that, the journey to get to where you put people, to where you bring people. I really, that's the part. It's that journey that they go through.
It's taken a long time, right? Like even me and myself and the, you know, I'll name our coaches, but Jake Duangdara, who's our Muay Thai coach, Mike Guy, our boxing coach, Justin Durham, our wrestling coach, Doug Capier, our strength conditioning coach. You know, we've all been together for a really long time. And we've failed. Right? There's times where we've failed and we've had to learn from that, right? Like maybe this practice time didn't work, or maybe what I was showing wasn't quite work. So we're all in unison. We all understand what each other's teaching. I might be the head coach, right, on paper, but each of us are equally as important. And we work. It's a very symbiotic relationship amongst all of us. And it's one of those things that works very well. And even to this day, I'll use Anthony and Aspen because they've probably been with me the longest. You know, still to this day, if they want like private time, they'll still say, "Hey coach, can I have, 30 minutes of extra time today?" They're in the UFC. You're talking about people that are the top in the world. They'll still text and say, "Hey, you know, can I have extra time?" They still don't expect it, right? And that's the difference. Is they show up not only for every class, they do every day. They don't expect. I have Aspen and Anthony still clean the mats sometimes, right? Like it's just different, right? The vibe is very different in there. The expectation doesn't change regardless of who you are. And
well, it's interesting because I'm from a sales background.
Yeah.
And the things that you're talking about, someone has to have that attitude to become great in the field that you coach, is really the same basics we use in the field that I'm in for 40. Well, it's been used many years before I came into it. But yeah, it is, it's the same kind of stuff. The people that want to be very successful, they put in the extra time and they want coaching. They said, can I have some one-on-one coaching? Can I, you know, it's all the same. And they have to have that desire. I mean, it's a burning desire. And it's the same thing in our business. And
nothing else can matter.
That's right. Nothing else matters. It's number one. It's a focus. Yep. So I can't believe that. I was excited to hear you come on today. Yep. But man, after listening to you just this short time, I'm really excited. It's just amazing. I'm going to take what you've said and I'm going to tell a whole lot of people about it.
Yeah.
I'm really impressed, Jim. Thank you.
Well, I think, you know, coaching is one thing, right? You hear that term a lot, coaching, or you're a trainer, you know, or a leader, you know, those types of things. And they're not necessarily all the same, right? And I think oftentimes coaches in MMA, oftentimes, or athletes don't look at who's actually coaching them and training them, meaning not just what they are, you know, physically, or maybe what they know in a specific art, whether it's jiu-jitsu or wrestling or boxing or Muay Thai or whatever, but what type of life experience does that person have? Do they understand business? Do they have a sound mind in them? Do they know how to lead people? Do they know how to put people in the best possible positions? It's not just what I'm teaching you on the mat. And that's where a lot of coaches in MMA go wrong, or they think they're doing such a great job. But you have to be able to look at all of those things to make a successful professional. It's not just what you're teaching them on the mat. Yes, granted, those are that's the aptitude that they need to learn. But all those other things mean something. Is this person that's coaching me putting me in the right spot? Are they doing the right things to help me elevate my career? And all of our coaches, I can honestly say, do that. And we work together at that.
Now, are you involved in the negotiating of contracts?
So I'm not really involved. I'm aware of it. So when a contract is up, the manager, Dave Hirschbein is his name, does a great job. He and I go way back. So when a contract comes in, when an athlete's, because typically if you're in the UFC, we'll use the UFC for example.
Yeah.
If you're on a 4-fight deal, usually on your third fight, that fight's your most important because that's the negotiating fight you're going into. So I'll know that that's what we're going into. And then assuming we have a great outcome in that third fight, we know a negotiation's happening. So when a negotiation happens, usually Dave will just kind of keep me aware of what's going on. Hey, this is what we're looking at. These are what the comps are, you know, because athletes that, you know, they want a number, but that may not be the comp, right? Within your division, you have to look at that. So there's a lot of things that go into it. So I'm aware of it, but I'm not part of the negotiations specifically.
Okay. Back to the fighters and mindset. You know, part of what we do as coaches is we help our clients, or, you know, you as your fighters, deal with negative self-talk and those things. What are some of the top two or three things that mentally you have to assist your fighters with? With their mental state,
I try to make them. I want them to understand how much I believe in them. So nice. That's the kind of the big thing. I want them to understand, and once they feel and understand that how much I believe in them, that kind of exudes and kind of rubs off onto them. I mean, many of them already have an inordinate amount of self-belief, and really, it's one of the most important things. I kind of talk about three different things. There's your mind, your heart, and then your physical attributes. I can teach you physical things. I can teach you technical things. But if you don't have a sound mind and self-belief and the will to win in your heart, I could teach you all day long. It's not going to mean anything. I would much rather take perfect case and example. We have an amateur girl named Emma Honkapiller. She made her amateur MMA debut. She's only 18 years old. Couple weeks ago, And I was a little nervous. I won't lie. MF, you're watching. I was like, man, I don't know what how this is going to go. I was confident in her, but I was like, man, this could be interesting. And she went in and absolutely showed everyone how much mental fortitude and will to win she had. Now, she lost a very close decision, but I will take that 100 times over than someone that walks in the gym has got all kinds of physical, intangibles and attributes, because I can't teach you to be mentally strong and have will to win, right? So it's those three, and that goes in that order. Like, you have to have the self-belief, then the will to win, then physical tools. A lot of people have talent, but
have you ever helped somebody cross that bridge? Like, maybe they didn't quite have the will, but they, after a certain sequence of training or whatever, then they kind of found it or it went up.
I think that comes into the belief thing. Me helping them understand that I believe in them. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes that helps them kind of jump that hurdle. Man, why don't I believe in myself the same as my coach does? And that starts to kind of rub off. And, you know, and it's so in that aspect, yes.
Yeah, I mean, it puts them in a position of what's called cognitive kind of dissonance, right? Like,
yeah,
how can you not believe in yourself when I believe in you and I'm your coach? I'm Jim West and I believe in you.
Yeah.
Jim, I've got, this is the greatest talk. I love this. Two things. Number one, do you go looking to recruit new fighters? Do you go watch other ones at different levels and see if they would fit in your training?
So yes and no. Sometimes I will go to some of the high school wrestling tournaments and stuff and kind of look. I will say it was more so in the beginning years I would do some of that. More so, not so much now, because we're very blessed and very humble and humbled that I don't have to do that very much anymore. The name itself and you know, over 17 years we've earned that right through good actions, and integrity and honesty in what we do. So most of the time now, athletes from all over the country and world, they all reach out. For example, a lot of people don't know also, is we have the MMA Gold EU, which is our Europe team. So Michelle Crispo and Alessio Cirilli, Alessio's out in Dubai and Michelle's out in Italy. So we have a lot of athletes that are international. So right now we're working on, you know, visa issues because of COVID and all that kind of stuff to get them here. So we've, you know, over time, we're very blessed to have earned that ability and that, that, you know, acknowledgement of people from around the world. So usually they just reach out to me and say, hey, how can I come and train? What do I need to do? Et cetera, et cetera.
Do you look at game footage or fight footage to kind of screen at first or?
Yes. So I will kind of vet whoever it is that is reaching out to me. If it's a European guy, I trust Michelle and Alessio to kind of vet them on their own, and then they'll send me what they're thinking. And then we'll look at it. Usually the biggest hurdle with them is getting them here. All the travel restrictions and everything that's going on. But like I said, typically now they just reach out. They'll message me on Instagram or something, or they'll reach out through one of the athletes to reach out to me or something like that, or another coach they'll reach out to. But even with that said, even as often as that happens, and I'm very thankful, we still vet them because I don't want 50 guys in the room again and cause problems.
That's right. What I was going to ask a question on. First of all, Jim, I liked you before I met you because your name is the same name as my very first attorney when I went into business.
All right.
He was the best guy ever. So Jim West is a good name. Plus, wait a minute. Jim West, wait a minute. Wild, Wild West.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you'd never be surprised. So my full name is James Gordon West.
No.
Yes, I know. Yeah.
No.
So yeah, it was my dad, you know, my mom's dad, my grandfather, his name was James. My dad's dad's name was Gordon, and they hoped it happened to be West. So I got James Gordon West.
Oh my gosh, that's too wild.
I'm just thankful it wasn't Gordon James, because I wouldn't have gone by Gordon. I would have went by James anyway.
The other part of my question was, and this is off the wall, but Bruce was talking about giving someone belief in themselves through your belief. And what I wanted to ask was relationship. You know, you're the boss. You're the president of that company, as an example. You have your staff of coaches and all that, but you're all a team. You're all a family. But with that fighter, is there a relationship developed that if, example, if they were with somebody else, maybe that relationship wouldn't be the same? And they would. The coach is very important.
100%. I mean, you see oftentimes, you know, these fighters, whether they've been with a coach, let's say for a year or two, that's really not a long time to really establish a really good rapport and build trust and respect and kind of all those things, right? And you'll see them bounce around, and then they have inconsistent careers. Building that relationship with your coaches and trust is a crazy thing. For example, I could close my eyes and corner our guys. I know what they do. I know what things they're not good at. I know what I need to do to keep them safe. I know what I need to do to keep them in positions of advantage. I mean, I could probably close my eyes, but that didn't just come over, you know, overnight. That's over years and years of experience and being with them. Anthony Hernandez calls me that crazy ex-girlfriend that just is like a stalker. Well, I just pay attention to all of my guys and girls so much that I want to be able to emulate how they fight. I want to be able to emulate who they're fighting. I have to know those things. I even go as far as understanding and trying to watch what their coaches do. I'll go back and watch film, not just on the athlete, but I'll go back and I will try to dub in and listen to the corners and see what their corners are saying, how they're interacting with their fighters. What are their cues? I'm looking for anything.
I've been accused of being omnipresent. That's the word that I would get. But it is interesting. As the leader, do you take like a Hernandez? Do you pull him aside every now and then and just you sit down and you do have a one-on-one coaching where you're building him up. You're telling him what is so good about him, maybe what he could improve on, or just to focus. Do you have those one-on-ones besides the ones that the other coaches have?
You know, with them, especially those that are in the UFC, usually we have when they're getting a fight, we'll meet a lot because I'm trying to set the plan. You know, everything should have a plan and a purpose.
Yes.
And so my job is to set that, right? So I set that kind of that expectation. I'll set up what that plan and purpose is. The coaches will then meet. And if I'm off kilter a little bit, they'll add what they think needs to be there. Then we'll go from there. And that's what we focus on. You know, as long as you're training every single day, you're going to improve. Too many of these fighters, they use this term camp. There's no such thing as a camp. If you are only training within that camp, all you're going to be doing is getting yourself kind of, you're going to be doing the same things you did before. You get better in between every single day that you're in there. That's the only way we can add new tools to your toolbox and help you refine them with purpose and a plan, and then take your old things and make them sharp, right? So you got to show up every day. You got to have a plan and a purpose, and that's our job to do that.
Man alive. I get speechless. Bruce, this is an amazing call today. Gosh. We got to make sure more people see this. Jim, this is so real, and it's a person can take this advice that you're giving and this coaching ability that you're giving into their personal life, into anything they do, professional or personal. This is, I can't believe how much it's, how different everything is, but it's not different.
Yeah. A lot of people try to overcomplicate things. They don't have to be.
Yeah.
You know, what is it that you do well? How can we continue to build on that? What tools are necessary for you to continue to improve into the next fight? You know, and then, and always have a plan and purpose. If you have no plan and purpose, you're just like a one-legged duck swimming in circles. You continue to do the same thing over and over again. It's like a lot of these gyms and teams that just spar every single day. Well, if you're sparring every single day and that's all you're doing, I'm going to continue to do the same bad habits that I do every day. We spar once a week, literally one time a week. And the goal is to spar
but it's to utilize those things we've been teaching you that week or the week before and try to implement those things while you're sparring. But if you're just sparring every week or every single day, how are you ever going to implement new things? Who's watching you? Who's helping you through those things? Who's helping you add tools to work on? The sport of MMA, in my opinion, has changed a lot in the last 5 years. You know, fighters are becoming more of an athlete, not just someone who shows up in a room and punches each other every day. They're becoming more cognizant of what they're doing and what they're trying to do. They're still fighters at heart, but they're becoming more of an athlete and understanding what that means. And I think you're seeing higher level competition. You're seeing higher level fights. You're seeing much better, for the eye, I guess, for lack of a better term. That's Alexander Hernandez. That's not Anthony Hernandez. That one's Alexander. That's the 55er. Anthony Hernandez is the 85er, the one that choked out Adolfo Vieira not too long ago.
Holy cow.
I'm
so blessed to have you on this show. And it's amazing how anyone that I talk to that's successful at any business, they have the same values.
Right. The same core. But I think also it's being put to the test. So you train for a day and you train for a fight, you're being put to the test. And I think sometimes for us, Wayne, or if we're coaching executives or other people, they're tested, but not, you know what I mean? It's not the same, obviously, as a fighter. You see what I mean? Like, you know, it's very cause and effect, and here's the goal, and here's the date, here's the fight. I almost want to implement some deadlines with some folks, you know, like your fight date is this. I mean, anyway, it is interesting. So Jim, what, in your dealings with, like you said, you interact with UFC, Bellator, LFA, all these other, organizations, what are some of the challenges that you encounter that are kind of common across all of them, not just picking on one, but.
Well, I mean, you don't run into too many, like if you're using like an LFA and a CCFC, for example, you don't run into too many, you know, too much politics or anything with them. All those guys are kind of, the analogy, the best way I can explain like LFA or a CCFC would be like AAA in baseball, right? You're almost there. If you do really well in the AAA, you're going to get called up, right? And they all have CCFC and LFA, and everyone knows it. You do well there and you become a champion. Right. Well, the UFC is going to sign you at some point, or Bellator. So there's not really a lot of, you know, political stuff that goes on behind the scenes there. Bellator is a little bit more, a little bit different. But the UFC, I wouldn't say is political, but it becomes more political the higher ranked you become, because the athletes get, you know, it's like, who am I going to fight? Why am I going to fight them? You know, it becomes a little bit more political, for a lack of a better term. So they all have their, you know, kind of their differences of, per se. But in those shows like LFA and CCFC or Titan, stuff like that, it's not a lot that goes on. They're all pretty amiable, and they know where the athletes are trying to go.
So no matchmaking issues, matchmaker.
Not typically. The match, even in the UFC, it's not really that big of a deal. It just seems to be, and it's not really UFC per se. It's when they get into the top five or the top 10, those people that are in those positions become very picky, and rightfully so, because they're there for a reason. So now they're trying to maneuver where they're trying to go, who makes the most sense. And then obviously sometimes the UFC gets, you know, annoyed with the two camps going back and forth and stuff, but so there's definitely that.
Yeah, and like you said, some of those AAA leagues, they're on UFC Fight Pass. I'll get notifications often, right? Such and such is on Fight Pass, and it'll be some league.
Yeah,
and I'll be like, is that even a thing?
Yeah.
And but that's just me, man. I'm I'm pretty absent-minded. But anyway, but like you said, that is kind of a prelude and a farm team to, if you will, the AAA farm team on ramp onto Bellator or UFC. Another quick question I have for you is, have you ever kind of counseled a fighter that was about ready to make a bad business decision or, you know, sign on with some supplement company that wasn't legit? I'm just, or whatever. I'm not trying to do that. Have you ever been, or you're just kind of focus on fighting?
Stay in my lane for the most part, you know, in the coaching lane. Sometimes it crosses because I am the head coach and I'm very close to the athletes, so they'll come and talk to me and ask me. But I really try to stay out of it. Really, Dave, the manager, kind of handles a lot of that stuff, whether it's endorsements or marketing or you know, signing contracts and things like that. So I try to stay out of it for the most part. I don't really get involved too much with that. My time starts really when the name comes. This is who they want you to fight, and this is when. Then it's kind of where my stuff starts kicking in on, okay, what are we going to do? Is this the opponent that we want right now? And if so, why? And then if it is, then we start building that plan and purpose. And
right. Or, so that is with you has a separate manager or a manager managing them?
Yeah, so Dave manages all MMA Gold athletes, so every one of them. Yeah.
Okay, good. So you're not having to deal with different managers.
No. Thank God.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and this,
so many of these managers and even these coaches or whatever, so many of them, you know, there's two ways you get into the sport, right? I mean, did you get in initially in your mind? Because only you know, and you can tell too. Did you get in because you wanted to make money? Or did you get in because you truly loved coaching? And then all ultimately your love and passion turned into a monetary gain, right? Because you had some success. If it's the first, you're likely to be successful. And if you are, you're going to be known as a dickhead because I can tell you're just an asshole and you're all about the money. So if I need to pay attention to that, whether it's a manager or a coach, did that coach start coaching you initially and didn't ask for money and did it for the love and passion and then you were both successful and now everyone gets paid? That's the kind of guy I want to be around, not the other.
Is there a line, things got kind of deep. Is there a line where a fighter goes from just having a coach and then they have a manager, and if so, at what point do they need a manager?
I mean, I would, it is a who you know sport for sure, and it is a good old boy sport. If you're not in, sure, you don't know and you can't pick up the phone and text certain people, it's going to be very difficult. It's just whether it's right, wrong, or indifferent, it's the reality. So if you have aspirations of being in the sport and actually doing something, you probably should try to align with people that have an understanding of it, right? Whether it's the management side or the coaching side or what have you. And really do your due diligence. Like a lot of people just, when you want a new car, do you just buy the first car that you look at? Typically not. When you want a new pair of pants, do you just go and you go and shop and just, oh, that's the pair I'm getting and you never try it on? So many of these athletes make a mistake.
Yes.
Look, talk to people. Go and train. Talk to the coaches. Talk to the managers. See what it is. Don't just take someone's word for it, right? Go and figure it out on yourself. And you'll usually come out on top when you make that decision and you do it that way.
Right.
So need it.
Right.
You need people in your corner to help you because you're probably not going to get a lot of opportunity if you don't.
Right. Exactly.
I would think too that if they come into your group, that they would be that by being in your group, under your umbrella, that would lead them to some pretty good people to hang with, to get the manager, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's all in.
Another big benefit.
Absolutely. So we don't do contracts. I'm going to shake your hand, and if you're a man or woman enough to own up to your word, then great, we'll take care of you. If you don't want to be there, we don't want you there.
See, I love it.
So that's the way it is. So, yeah, we're going to take care of you from your first amateur fight all the way until your last pro fight. So, it works. It works.
That's awesome. I can't quit grinning.
How is the sport changing, Jim? I mean, how from your lane as you see it, how is the game evolving, and you're having to evolve with it? Is there anything that's happening, or is it just, hey, we do the basics and that's sufficient?
Yeah, no, definitely. So, like I said, over the course of 17 years, there's been times where we've had, you know, 40 to 55 people in our room. And it becomes very difficult. And if you're not paying attention to the sport, how it's evolving, look how it was 5 years ago to what it is today. Yeah. The highest level athletes, what are they looking for? They want individualized attention when they want it. They've earned that right. So I had to evolve with that. So I had to get rid of people that had expectations, that had that entitlement factor. Well, why am I not getting this training? Well, probably because you show up once a week and these people show up five. So who do you think I'm going to give my attention to? Right? Sorry, it's not my fault. I didn't make the rules. If you don't show up, I don't show up for you. If you give 20%, I'm going to give you 20% back. It's pretty simple. So those athletes that are in the UFC, they're becoming more, they're becoming, instead of fighters, they're becoming better athletes, and they're wanting different things. They're wanting more individualized attention. Yeah, they're still going to do their things, but you notice they want to train with specific people only. They want to train with their coaches more. They don't care that there's 50 guys. Look, at the end of the day, if I'm fighting a guy who's 5'9 and right-handed, I need to focus on the guy that's 5'9 and right-handed and is a wrestler. I don't need to be training for this camp with the other 30 people that are in the room that don't provide that same look, right? So those athletes that are at the top, they want that. They want to be able to get that. It's almost like boxing, how boxing has always been, right? They bring in a very specific training partner or two, sparring partner, and then they're with them and their coaches, right? And that's kind of how I've seen the sport evolve. And you notice that. Look at the highest level athletes in the UFC. You always see them training with their coaches and a very select few of athletes. That's it.
Yeah.
And that by reducing our team and getting rid of those people that had these entitlement things and really didn't really want it, they said, because being a fighter is cool. And,
right.
Yeah, well, that's great. That doesn't make you successful. So getting rid of those people has allowed us to do just that. So when you have six coaches and 20 athletes, you figure out the math, they're getting what they want, when they want it, how they want it. Mm-hmm. Right. So
on demand, basically.
Yeah.
Good stuff. All right. Well, let's depart from UFC for a little bit and get you to weigh in on a more common topic that people have been asking me about. Tell me your initial thoughts about the Jake Paul Tyron Woodley thing. I mean, this is an interesting thing where, you know, some folks that are MMA folks are good boxers and some are great boxers. So what are your impressions about boxing?
You know, what's funny is my dad and I were having this conversation a little bit yesterday and a little bit this morning. I mean, I don't hate on Jake Paul. Look, at the end of the day, he's winning. Okay. His first fight, he fought someone less. Then he fought someone a little better. Then his third fight, he fought an athlete, but not, you know, an MMA fighter that didn't have any good hand. But nonetheless, he did what he was supposed to do. Then recently, he fought Tyron Woodley, who was a 5-time UFC champion. You know, a very good athlete, a decent boxer per se. And he won. So could Jake Paul go in and fight, you know, the top 5, top 10 cruiserweight boxers in the world right now? No, but he's only 4-0. So right. He's doing what he needs to do, and he's winning. And on top of that, whether I like it or don't, it's irrelevant. He's doing what he said, and he's saying what he does. So, and he's winning, and he's progressing each time. So now he beat Woodley, right? So now the next one will probably be another, maybe a little bit guy that has a little bit more of a striking prowess. Who knows? But the other thing he's doing is he's creating competition. And other people are making money from it, which is a good thing, right? It's a good thing. So I'm not going to hate on him. I mean, it just is what it is.
No, I mean, like I said, it was a split decision, right?
It was, yeah.
Yeah, not that that...
And people that are saying, like, Woodley was this and that, then you don't know what you're saying, because
Woodley, that's how Woodley fights. He's fought it that way his whole career. He's right. Not an aggressive, overly aggressive guy. He especially over the last probably 4 or 5 years of his career, he's been very, very patient, not very, he doesn't put on pressure. So what he displayed last night is very indicative of what he's done for the last 5 years of his career. So it is what it is. Jake Paul won.
Yeah. Yeah. Like you said, he's winning, he's doing what it takes, and also just the business aspect of it and the coverage and the hype and the media and just pretty masterful in terms of, engaging millions of people, and their interest in that particular stuff. And it could be a good thing for fighting in general, or even MMA could go the other way. So anyway. Great, appreciate you. You're weighing in on, we got about 4 minutes left, so I want to make sure that Jim, tell our listeners and viewers every social media contact point that they can see you and your work and your team.
If you want to follow, so. We have a management page on Instagram, so it's MMAGold_management, I believe.
Okay.
My Instagram is Jim_West_Gold15. You can find me there. Twitter, it's the same handle. Facebook, it's just Jim West.
And then the EU, I think the EU, your management.
Then there's MMAGold_management_EU.
Yep.
So that's our partners, Michelle and Alessio, that are out in European areas.
And I like that. I've been following that site as well. I really like what you're doing there. Bringing the world together in a way, and doing it in a very methodical, well thought way. So I really appreciate what you're doing on that page, and you can catch the good vibe that's going on there. And I'll say that, I'll go on record, say that about your other social media posts when you line up everybody after practice. There's a big group shot, I think that's fortifying, unifying, team building. And you can just see the look on these people's faces. It's a good look, right? I mean, they're just really seemingly very content and growing. So
yeah, there's no ego in on our team anymore. Knock on wood, thank God. Had to get rid of some of that, right?
Yeah, man. So. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show today, Jim. We'd love to have some of your folks come on the show as well. Here in the future, we'd just love to get their perspectives too, and get to echo back some of the things that you're showing them, that you're teaching them, and also that other people can hear from the fighter's perspective what they're thinking and how they're thinking it. And I think that's real important for everybody, not only just fighters, but also anybody who's looking at self-improvement. So once again, thank you so much for coming on the show, brother. Pleasure.
I'll be following you now. I can't wait. I'm excited to sign up all those places. Bruce, I'm going to have to get them from you again.
Yes, sir.
I'll get them. I want to follow this.
And again, here, this will be available on Apple Podcast here in the short future. Also, I had an iHeartMedia connection here too. And some of the other podcast aggregators cover LA Talk Radio. So, Jim, I'll get you those links on your social media, and that way all your fans and personnel and friends and family can enjoy this podcast and maybe some of the other ones in the future. So, thanks for coming out.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Jim.
Man, pleasure is all ours here. Let me get my eyes on. So 29 seconds. Well, folks, there it is. Another fantastic show on the Concierge Coaches Show, LA Talk Radio Day. Come by our social media as well, Concierge_coaches. And I can be reached at conciergecoach.net. And Wayne, how can folks reach you?
Well, right now at wayne_515@yahoo.com.
All righty then.
Thank you, everybody,
have a great week, and we'll see you here next week on the Concierge Coaches Show. Bye-bye. See ya. Thank you, Jim.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Wayne Fritz, only on LA Talk Radio.